political sharp documentaries, current affair documentaries. They are exist in Russia. We had many, but it's so complicated to find any money for them. Just almost no chances to find fundings. No chances. This war show us what role propaganda plays and how important to fight propaganda and how important to have independent sources.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Austin Meyer Podcast. I'm your host, Austin Meyer. I am a documentary cinematographer and director, and on this show, I interview the world's best documentary filmmakers about how they craft the stories they tell. Today on the show, my guest is Vera Krichevskaya. Vera is a documentary filmmaker from Russia who co-founded TV Doge, or TV Rain in English, which is the only independent private television channel in Russia. Vera is an award-winning television director, and her feature documentaries include The Citizen Poet, The Man Who Was Too Free, and The Case. Her most recent documentary, which is currently on the film festival circuit and seeking distribution, is titled Fuck This Job. It is an incredibly timely story that documents the 10-year journey of the only independent TV station in Russia. Here is the official film synopsis from the DocNYC program where Fuck This Job had their U.S. premiere. Newlyweds Natasha and Sasha are living a fairy tale until they decide to start TV Doge, the only independent TV station in Russia. Armed with charm, naivete, determination, and a team of doe-eyed journalists, Natasha embarks on a 10-year journey of growth and resistance that will make them all a government target. TV Doge's coverage of the war in Ukraine, Navalny's anti-corruption investigations, and the unveiling of Putin's state propaganda profoundly changed Natasha and her team. I was fortunate enough to get a screener of this documentary, and I watched it last week. And in this moment where Russia is silencing all independent voices and pushing out state-sponsored propaganda to insulate their citizens from the truths of the war in Ukraine, this documentary provided an inside look into how we got to this moment. In this conversation, Vera and I discuss what it's like to be an independent documentary filmmaker in Russia, what happened when the war broke out right before her film's premiere in Russia, and the value of independent news and documentaries in a just society. I hope you enjoy my conversation with Vera Krichevskaya. Can you help me with I just want to make sure that I'm pronouncing your name correctly. So Vera, and then your last name?
It's easy to say Krichevskaya. Krichevskaya.
Krichevskaya.
Yeah. Very clean.
Okay. Vera Krichevskaya, thank you so much for joining the Austin Meyer Podcast. It's so great to have you here today. First off, I just want to say congratulations on finishing your most recent film. I was fortunate enough to get a chance to see a screener and watched it the other night. I know it's doing the rounds in some of the festivals, and just an amazing work of art, an amazing work of journalism and in history. And so I just wanted to congratulate you on that to start.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So for those who don't know you, I'd love to just start by getting a little bit of background about who you are. How did you arrive into this wild world of making documentaries as a career?
My origin is TV director. I've been TV director and producer all my life, literally. And in Russia, in different Russia, in our previous life, I was a multi-worded TV director. And I made all types of shows, news, and big shows with a big audience. One of my biggest achievements in early 2000s was the largest political talk show in Russia, with the name Freedom of Speech. This show was frozen and closed in 2004. It was the end of the first term of Vladimir Putin as a president. Mm-hmm. So, I'm from TV. In 2008, Natasha Sindeeva, who is the main protagonist of my current film, can I say the title of my current film?
Go for it, yeah.
Okay, the title is Fuck This Job. The spelling is F at CK This Job.
Yes, yes.
CK. in 2008, I talked to, I met Natasha, my main protagonist, and she offered me to make new television, to launch completely new television, independent television. And from 2008 and many years after, I still worked for television as a director and producer. But it happened that in 2012, I made my first feature documentary. And right now it is the fourth one.
Okay. So of course, we're going to get into it more in terms of what this film is about and the themes that it tackles and how it relates to today's current events. But of course, you know, the topic of free speech and the idea of objectivity in news is something that's core to it. And as you were starting to enter your career and get into that TV journalism world, I reflect on my training as a journalist and how this idea of objectivity in free speech, I mean, is very ingrained in the way we're taught as journalists here in the U.S. When you were being trained and kind of coming into your own in the TV journalism space, what were the conversations like when it came to that objectivity in free speech?
I'm very lucky person because my career, serious career on television, on national television, on big companies, started in the middle of 90s when Russia was completely free. Mm-hmm. We could talk, we have freedom of speech, we had freedom of press, and etc. So it was for me such freedoms, such rights were so organic and natural. I think it's the same as for any Americans.
Yeah.
It is kind of, for you, it is part of DNA of your country. For Russia, it was something very new, but it was so solid back then. Mm. And we had competition between big channels. Big TV companies that endorsed different political parties, different views. So my career started under these circumstances. Mm. We were free to talk.
Yeah.
By 2004, 2005, all the independent television stations were frozen and shut down in Russia. So, and many tried to find themselves in different conditions, yeah, and different stations, pro-government media, and etc. But it happened that I was very straightforward, transparent, and I've never ever changed my way.
Yeah.
Here.
And I wonder if did that transition or that change in the news landscape, did that have any bearing on you and your career and you wanting to pour your energy and focus into making documentaries?
Just why I made my first film. Yes, you know, you watched Fuck This Job. There is this story why and how I left company in 2011. Mm-hmm. And I found myself kind of lost because it was the only independent television that I left. And I had almost nothing to do. I made an amazing project. I launched documentary, current affair documentary cable channels, 24 docs with six premieres per day. It's current affairs from all around the globe. But unfortunately, the fate of this company was not good as well. So I found myself in start of protest movement in Russia. It was 2011 when it became clear that Vladimir Putin is going to come back to Kremlin. And it provoked first since early 90s, first protest movement in Russia, in Moscow. And I saw how many apolitical people who were far away from politics somehow found themselves on the squares, on the streets. So it was how I decided to make my first film. The circumstances brought me to documentaries. Now, you know, I'm in love with documentaries all my life. That's why I launched documentary cable channel as well.
Right.
I was very closed always, and but my shift my to documentaries was very natural, because when you feel like you cannot not to film something,
right? So we started to chat right there a little bit about what this film is, Fuck This Job, and what the synopsis of it is. But I'd wonder if you would want to just share with the audience kind of the overview of what this film is about.
Fuck This Job, it's a story of the only independent news TV station in Russia. We launched this company in 2008. I was a co-founder of the company. And this company was shut down on March 4th. Today is March 16th, 12 days ago. It was 10th day of the war. This company went through many, many troubles. This company was shut down on last 6th of March. It was a third, it was the third time when this company was shut down. It was a period of time when this company made its broadcasting from small 60 square meters apartment.
Wow.
And through this company and through the founder of this company, CEO of this company, her name is Natalia Sindy, the main character of the film, I used them kind of as a tools to tell the audience what happened with the country. There are three arcs of the film. One arc is the arc of the main character. At the beginning of the film, we meet Natasha, flamboyant, glamorous, socialite, pink Porsche car, white mansions, diamonds, lots of dancing because she loves dancing, and amazing wedding ceremony. And it is her starting point back in 2008. And we follow her. It's an amazing arc. In the middle of this arc, she's losing everything. She's moving from beautiful white mansion to rented apartment in Moscow. And we are living here right now, almost now, as a deep devoted fighter for freedom, for justice. She was wealthy, she became poor. She was socialite, she became so deep, so profound person who found herself It is the one arc of the company. The second of the film. The second arc of the film is Dosh TV, the team company. New young reporters, not young already, not so young already. 10 years passed. Many of them are LGBTQ. It's a very diverse group of people.
Right.
For the United States, for example, or for Europe. Okay, that's normal group of people, nothing special. Okay, just nothing. Several same-sex marriage couples and just nothing. Kids from same-sex marriage couples and different colors. Just, you know, it's normal for someone on a wheelchair. It's absolutely usual, normal group of people, but... not for us, not for Russia. Maybe we were kind of naive or so when we decided to build such solo island in Russia just for us, just based on our understanding how the world is built. And So the second arc is a development of this group of people. And the third arc is a third trajectory is a country from hopes. We had hopes in 2008 until this point, this war. And one of the film critics wrote on the review, I love it. She wrote that Vera made a film in 2021, about 2022. Because Ukraine and war in Ukraine is one of the backbone of the film, backbone of country development, backbone of our development. Because this war started not a couple of weeks ago. This war started in 2014. And this war changed all of us, all of us. And this war changed country. Right now, we know that forever, because we crossed all red lines. It was, our life is divided into what happened before the war and after. So three arcs, three trajectories, and all of them are intertwined to each other.
And you premiered this film at a number of film festivals. I saw you went to Doc NYC, and then I wonder if you could walk us through what happened recently when you were about to have the premiere of the film in Russia.
The film was selected by many film festivals. Already I can say many, because I don't have space for laurels.
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah. I'm proud that we were selected by Doc NYC. Doc NYC was the first, I would say, so big organization that selected this film, that gave us away, and etc. Our release in Russia was scheduled on March the 2nd. Week before, from February 24th, we had release in the UK. The war started the same day as we had our premiere, our film release in Curzon Soho, London. Again, this film is about how we reached this point, reached the point of this war. I came back to Russia on Tuesday, March the 1st. Next day, on Wednesday, we were going to have our premiere in a large cinema in Moscow, very close to the Kremlin, on direct way to the Kremlin. It's a cinema with the red carpet, you know, just like the largest.
Yeah, super exciting.
Cinema. Yeah, and from March 3rd, we had scheduled tour to Siberia, to south of Russia, to the west of Russia. Yeah, and we were completely prepared, and we were working on each detail, how to cover as many cities as possible, and etc. So we had beautiful rehearsal in Moscow on March the 1st in the morning. And our partner, distributor, was the largest cinema chain in Russia. We were so happy, and we were adding more and more cinemas during the day. So less than 24 hours to the premiere, I got a call that everything is canceled.
Wow.
And yeah, everything is canceled. Premiere is canceled. And 30 minutes later, all of us, we got a push notification that Dozhd TV, the station, my film is about this station, the station is officially banned and blocked in Russia.
Wow.
So I will remember this March the 1st forever. Yeah.
It's this amazing kind of moment where, like, I mean, that film critic said it so perfectly. It made the film in 2021 for 2022, because that almost seems like the end of this arc that you've been following for this television station, and you are living it in the moment, at the moment that you are going to premiere this film. And so what did you end up doing when the war started, or in the most recent incarnation of this war started? What did you do? What did the other journalists do who are at part of this independent news station? Did you have fears for your own safety? Did other journalists that you were working with have those fears? And what happened then?
No, I'm in London, and I feel safe. I don't feel safe about my friends, my relatives, my colleagues who are inside Russia. I feel fear about them. And most of the Dozhd reporters left Russia, but we have to arrange support, how to support them, because they don't have money, they don't have papers. And last Tuesday, they found themselves without credit debit cards, because MasterCard and Visa system left Russian market. We cannot compare our situation with what is going on in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. We don't have rights to complain. Mm-hmm. I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
But it's very hard. Just it's a completely new reality, and it's a big challenge to survive.
I just want to kind of paint the picture for those listening about this film. You know, one of the things that was really inspirational to me was just to see this upstart energy. It's really like that. It's really a startup of just people who are, you know, just doing everything they can to make this news station work, to be an independent voice, to be a strong voice, to be so brave in the face of insurmountable obstacles. As someone who studied journalism and who's in the documentary field, I found that it was really inspirational to see that. And it reminded me a little bit of one of the Oscar-nominated films this year, is called Writing with Fire, I believe, and is about this news organization in India that is like the only all-women news organization. And I just enjoy seeing these films, you know, about these storytellers who put it all on the line. And it's such an amazing example that all of us can learn from. One thing that I found myself wondering as I was watching your film, Vera, is what scrutiny do documentarians face in Russia, who are trying to do independent work in the last, you know, decade? Do documentarians come under the same scrutiny that news stations do, or is it a little bit different landscape? Do they not have to face the same kind of crackdown from people who don't want criticism against the government or things like that?
It's different, and it depends on topic. In general, in Russia, many documentaries are produced every year, many of them with the Ministry of Culture support. And of course, all those topics are completely apolitical, so they're far away from politics.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I cannot, in terms of Russia, in terms of Ukraine, in terms of places that are under repression, I cannot watch just beautiful cinematography or stories that don't bother me as a person. Mm. But political sharp documentaries, current affair documentaries, they are exist in Russia, and we had many, but it's so complicated to find any money for them. Just almost no chances to find fundings. No chances.
Mm.
If you're ready to make a film with the iPhone, go ahead. But it's almost impossible. Impossible. For example, for this film is a Germany UK production. There are no Russian money at all. But the company and story quest, but no, they're celebrities.
Mm.
And I have a name in Russia as well. And it is my fourth film. And my two previous films are number one and number two in the box office among Russian documentaries in Russia. But even I couldn't find a penny there. Mm. So just that's why the industry of documentaries in Russia is so small. There are no market, no fundings. This is a big problem, and it's going to be worse.
Mm-hmm. And what about distribution of documentaries in Russia? Like, what's the... Yeah, I see your face. I mean, are you going to, like, with a politically charged film, if you're a Russian documentarian, are you going to... you know, massive streamers like Netflix? Are you going to Russia specific ones? Do they have a chance in, or what is the landscape there?
We have many platforms, many online cinemas right now, and they are blossoming right now with TV series, with fiction films. Our film industry itself has never ever felt so good. But that's not about documentaries, that's not about politics, that's not about social issues and etc.
Mm.
And not a single platform I mentioned was ready to take this film for their distribution.
Hmm.
Their owners of companies and top managers told me, I love the film, please give me a link for my children, give me a link for my friends and etc. But just, you understand us, we cannot. This is the reality. But Netflix Russia was launched a couple of years ago in Russia, but it was a partnership with the state, the biggest, the largest state media group. And that's why Netflix Russia tried to be far away from documentaries and politics as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But Netflix Russia doesn't exist anymore. The company was closed last week.
Yeah.
So it's so complicated. Complicated.
Yeah. Yeah.
In terms of distribution and etc. If I made a film about lifestyle, if I made a film about, I don't know, nice people, but mm-hmm. I don't know, just architecture or something else, music,
yeah,
I would definitely find a distributor, and but not for such films. But I cannot make other films.
Yeah. And where do you think that comes from? Like, what part of your personality... or your upbringing or your experiences in life, do you think have led you to making those choices? Because as you just said right there, I'm sure you could have in Russia a lot more commercial success and notoriety if you were to go towards those types of films, but I don't know.
You know, I'm from a Soviet Jew family. And when I was a child, when I was 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, I was in school in St. Petersburg, and I experienced anti-Semitism on myself being a child. And I was raised with the thought that I'm something wrong with me. Hmm. Yeah. And justice means something for me. That's for sure. Because I remember myself when I was 7, 8, I don't know how I could kind of accept it.
And then getting the opportunity to work with this team at Doge TV for the time period you did, and then making this film, I mean, you were talking with them all the time, you're immersed in that community. What did you yourself learn working with this amazing team about storytelling?
I think that now I understand much more about storytelling than before. I feel much better now how to build up a story, how to build up storytelling. For example, if I want in my routine daily life, if I want to share something incredible with my friends, mm-hmm. I try to tell it emotionally. I try to engage someone with a story, with details, with a speed, everything, with a gesture. And if I have story to tell like this, emotionally engaged, it must be a film. Hmm. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, yeah.
So, in endorsing this group of crazy people, there are so many characters. I love them.
Yeah.
And we will always tell jokes about them, stories about them. And I found this thought, this is material for the film. If you, in your daily life, if something happened with some of them and you take your phone and call to all of your friends telling this new crazy story, it means it might be material for the film as well. Mm. So it's important to get this emotion when you want to share something. Mm-hmm. But if this something is long and has a story, has an arc, has a development, this is the storytelling. Do you understand what I mean? It's complicated.
Yeah, I think what I'm gathering from that is to pay attention to where you have an emotional connection, to pay attention to like what you're excited about, and that if you're telling your friends over dinner, over the phone, a story, and you feel yourself like getting overcome by the emotion, the characters, then you should lean into that. And that's when it sounds like you knew, I think there's a film here, because clearly I have something I want to share.
When you start your conversation with someone, listen, imagine, it means like it's going to be a story. If you feel that organically, naturally, if you want to share something, and naturally, you start your speech with, listen, imagine. Mm-hmm. In 2019, I got this feeling, it's going to be a film. Mm. And I was so positive about it. I was so sure about it. And I started pitching this idea among my friends in Russia, in London. And I pitched it to some professionals. Mm-hmm. And all of them told me, no, just that's not so interesting. For whom? For foreigners? No, 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 no. For Russians, they know this story very well. For the national community, no, no, no. I don't think so. She is about the main protagonist. She's not a celebrity. She's completely unknown. No, 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 no. I was shocked. I told, listen, do you know many people who went through such arc? Do you know many people as her? For me, it was so clear, but thanks God, I had passion and energy and power and just to complete it.
Yeah, you made it happen. Made it happen. Yeah. Is this a story that Russians know well? Is this a story that I believe in the film at one point, when Doge TV goes behind a paywall, there was a powerful quote that talked about the population of Russia, and it said, I believe 60,000 people were willing to pay for independent news. Is this story about these independent news stations, you know, evading the cops and the government? Like, is that well known or not too much?
By 2014, Doge TV was in 30 million households. It's a lot. 30 million households. So let's say one household is two or three people.
Mm-hmm.
And but during all these years, Doge TV or TV in many American media, it is TV Rain, not Doge. TV Rain or Doge TV.
Yeah.
Was the main quoted source in the media. So, yeah, it's quite well-known story.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what are your hopes with the film? It's rolling out in film festivals. You know,
I can say that by now we don't have U.S. sale yet, which is shame. And I understand that it's so hot topic, so relevant, and I hope it will happen soon.
And what is your hope in the ways that it reaches an audience, or, you know, what do you hope audiences take away from this story?
There are several messages in the film. The first message is very universal for the United States, for Europe. How independent journalism, how independent media is essential nowadays. This war shows us what role propaganda plays and how important to fight propaganda. And how important to have independent sources. It is very universal, very universal message. Another message is that there are normal Russians, there are normal, healthy Russians who share, we have the same values, and we are much closer than each other than anyone might think. And it's important because right now we face Russophobic movement. I understand the roots of this movement, but so you cannot watch what is going on in Ukraine. Just it makes you mad, sad, and etc. I understand that. But there are normal people. There are normal Russians who have been suffering all these years, and who, you know, for us it's a tragedy what is happening now. Tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the third message, it is the personal journey. It is American dream in reverse, because seriously, it is American dream in reverse. She was wealthy, successful, and It is your way from American dream
A downfall.
to the current point, but it is. I think it is reality. But she's, you saw the film. She's happy with what happened to her.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's almost like a tragedy of the things that too often people value, and then a hero's journey in like personal values, right? That's what it kind of felt like to me. So you almost had those like two different roller coasters going the opposite way. Before we wrap up with my final question, I'd love to point people in the direction of you or your film. Is there any place that you'd want them to go on the internet to find out more?
We have a website.
Okay.
fckthisjobfilm.net.
FCK, okay.
fckthisjobfilm.net. Yeah.
Okay, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes so everyone can check it out if they're interested. And Vera, the last question that I ask all my guests who come on this show, this is a show about documentary filmmaking, and people who listen to the show are curious in how to become better filmmakers themselves. And so I wonder if there's one last piece of advice that you'd offer people who are aspiring to tell compelling and challenging stories like you did with this film right here. What advice would you have for them?
I'm not prepared because it is my educational journey in documentaries as well. So I know for sure in terms of the profession, I know that don't regret when someone make it shorter, but when someone good, make it shorter. It's crucial. And my film was when we completed plus minus the whole story, 2 hours, 30 minutes. And with another editor, it was Josh Craig. He got 2 Oscar nominations last year for collective documentary.
Yeah.
And George was a killer. We call it killer. Mm-hmm. The person who's going to make it short. So yeah, and the role of killer is crucial. Don't afraid of killer. So and he made stories so well, so well, and I think it's so important to be fully engaged with the story. And maybe that's not about commercial documentaries, because when you do commercial documentaries, it's different. But in terms of films I make, it's so important to be part of the story for directors. Just maybe to find yourself in the story. And
Yeah. Fantastic advice. Well, Vera, thank you so much for joining the show. It was great to have you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
That's it for episode 50 of the Austin Meyer Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And I really hope that it brought you some value and some insight into not only the documentary filmmaking process, but also the current political conflict that's happening in Eastern Europe. For more information about today's episode and our guest, check out the show notes in the description. And if you enjoyed the conversation, please consider sharing it with a friend who also might be interested. Keep me posted on guests you are interested in hearing on the show. I'm sending out a lot of cold emails and invites. Hope to have some fun guests for y'all soon. Sending you all love out there. And until next time, go out and tell some stories.